Hi there, folks. My name is Paul. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this video, our second video in our Bible study series on the book of Colossians. Now, may I ask, if you haven't seen the first video, please pause, take a moment, go back and have a look at it. It's a foundational video looking at the overall context and the culture and what we're going to be digging in and why Paul had to write this letter, which gives you that understanding to better understand what we're going to start going through from today. So I'd like to ask, if you haven't yet seen that first video, please go back and have a look at it. It will add immeasurably to the value of your study. And just another thing before we get started here, if you have a pen and paper, please take some notes. Whether you take notes in the column of your Bible, if you have room, if you don't mind doing that kind of thing, or perhaps I'll be asking you to underline some things as we go of vital importance, or even in a notepad nearby so that you can reference them later. Perhaps one small notepad just for the book of Colossians, and another one then when we come to Romans, and another one and so on for each of the different books. I find this of tremendous value when it comes back to, because as you study Scripture, there's so much of it. There truly is. And yes, we want to look for the interconnecting pieces. But even if you have the young mind and your memory is beautiful and working and young and vital, it may not always be like that. Just saying. So it's good to take notes. I take notes. And specifically, the Bible which I have now has, you know, large places, large letters. Good for me, good for my eyes. But places where I can take notes specifically, because that was my intention, because I don't always remember. But I then go through and I do actually type up those notes. Because, you know, if someone else wants to look through them, well, they may not be able to read them. My handwriting, not at all. So good for you if you haven't yet. Take notes. Pause the video if you need to. That's okay. It's of incredible value in building your faith in Christ as you walk and move forward in this beautiful journey that we have. That said, now let's get started here. Let's get started with those notes. I'm going to read from Colossians 1, from verse 3 through to 8, and then we'll come back and we'll review. Paul writing here says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in the truth. As you also learned," these are long sentences, aren't they? "You also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." Verse 8, "who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." And we see here Epaphras very likely founded this church. Paul never visited Colossae, but Epaphras, being with him and spending time with him, very likely founded this church here, and of course has been communicating to and from and sharing with Paul how things are going. But let's go back now to verse 3, which is where we left off last time, last video. And just a couple of points for emphasis. I will emphasize these, and if you haven't yet, then also underline those, which I mentioned, because that's what we're talking about today. He says, "We give thanks to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always." I love that Paul was such a man of prayer. So I wish we too could also be always. "Praying always for you since we heard of your faith." And if you haven't yet, please just underline faith for me, would you? "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love," again, underline love, "for all of the saints, because of the hope," last one, underline hope, "because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Now, I think before we move on, what a beautiful, powerful, incredible testimony. Yes, now we'll see as we come through this that Paul had some pretty serious things to correct. Yes, even doctrinal things. But He led with the beauty of their testimony. He led with their faith. He led with their love. He led with their hope. I mean, many, and I've heard this, say it amongst the, you know, the scholars and the things that I've studied. Many will say, oh, Paul was just a, you know, he was a naysayer. Grr, he was always just, you know, bringing the whip. And yet here, we start with this beautiful encouragement. And I think we, especially those of us who are in leadership, we can most certainly learn from this testimony as well and this example. But the key words here, faith, love, hope. Where have we heard that before? Though, albeit in a different order. 1 Corinthians 13. And these three remain. So abide now in faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. You know that one, don't you? If not, bookmark it. Now, the interesting thing I found as I went through this and really began to dig in, that's not the only time we see it. I always thought for many years that 1 Corinthians 13 was the only time we saw it. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. But the greatest of these is love. No, we see it here also in Colossians. We see it also in 1 Thessalonians from verse 2, chapter 1. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Does that not sound familiar? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Also in chapter 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet for our hope of salvation. I'm starting to see some patterns here. Galatians 5 also, we see Paul writing again, speaking against those who were looking to justify, find justification through the works of the law, things that we do. And from Galatians 5, verse 5, let me just read quickly. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope. There it is again. Of righteousness by faith. There it is again. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through, I love it, love. In Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain, the greatest of which, yes, is love. So I want to just explore them. Obviously, I never realized beforehand just how important these are in us. These are qualities we read in Matthew of the Beatitudes. Be attitudes, be these attitudes. I see these also now as instructions for us, our faith, our hope, and our love. These are fruit, if I can use that phrase. Most certainly we know from Scripture. But faith is trusting in who God is and what he has promised. Maybe jot these down in your notebook if you need to. Faith is, it's the starting point of the Christian life. It's the foundation. By grace we are saved through faith, we read in Ephesians 2. Yes. Faith is what enables us. It gives us the ability to walk with God daily, even when we cannot see the full picture, because as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is this foundational starting point. Without it, Scripture says in Hebrews, you cannot please God. But then we also have this thing, hope, our hope in Christ. This is so incredibly important. Hope simply is the confident expectation of God's future promises, especially eternal life and Christ's return. I mean, this is it. Without that hope, what have we got? We are but wretched fools. Hope gives us strength. Hope gives us the perseverance to continue through the trials. Romans 5, yes, yes, yes. Hope keeps us focused on the eternal, not just the temporal. This is so important. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We'll get to that. Actually, let me just quickly over the page and read it. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This is what hope does. Allows us to look forward to that glorious future, our hope, which is in Christ. And then love, of course, the greatest of these three. It reflects God's character. This is why love is so important. God himself is love. We read that from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And love, certainly the most beautiful of all the fruit, let me say that, expressed in our actions, expressed in our obedience to God. Jesus saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There is obedience, and there is also care for others. Love your neighbor. We know this. We know how much Christ loved the church, and that we too are to love others in such manner. Love is it's a visible evidence. Visible. We can see it, whether someone is of love or if they are not. It is the visible evidence of true faith. It is the evidence of a transformed heart. John 3:35, by this will all men know. Sorry, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. And I got to say, I look sometimes at the lack of love between the brothers and the sisters, the saints of God, and I go, shaking my head, do you know God at all? Could be just having a hard time, but do you know God at all, truly? And verse 5 there finishes off, which you heard. I heard all of this before and in the word, logos, that living word. They heard it, of the truth of the gospel. And this is why we are, and I often encourage people to share the fullness of the gospel. This is the foundation of it. Love is the foundation of that. And here, because of such love, for God so loved the world, that we can be reconciled to God. Verse 6, which has come to you. And this is a long sentence, as I said. And I'm just trying to break it down piece by piece. It's a mouthful to read. It really is. But the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, verse 6, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. I mean, there is a sermon right there. Just on that one verse, all the world, the known world, obviously. And I just look at this and I think, interesting. No churches, as in the way the organized church, the corporate church that we have these days. No Bible college, no programs, no procedures, no policies, just the gospel. I sometimes think to myself, why can't we get back to that? And I understand government regulation and so on we must work within. But then should those in leadership place such further burden also on those in the church and the body of Christ? Discussion for another time. The government places a burden. Yes, we adhere to it. But we cannot let it disrupt the preaching and teaching of the gospel, the fullness of the truth of God. And then we read this, it's been heard in all the world and bringing forth fruit. Now fruit, best explained, is the evidence of the gospel at work. Not just the gospel, but the evidence of the gospel at work in your life. That is the fruit. Matthew 13, we read of the parable of the sower and the seed, and the good soil, that is the willing heart of the man or woman who has heard the fullness of the gospel and is becoming rooted deep and becomes fruitful. Luke 16, the parable of the barren fig tree, where the man finds this fig tree in his vineyard. It hasn't bore fruit for, 3 years, I think it was. Yep, let's cut this thing down. But one of the vineyard workers says, no, look, let me just give it another year. Let me tend it. Let me fertilize it. Let me water it. Let me love it. And then let it bring forth fruit. This could be me to you right now. Perhaps you're coming out of a dry season and there hasn't been much fruit. Let me help you. Let me water. Let me fertilize. Let me help you grow those deep foundational roots and bring forth that beautiful fruit. Just a thought. John 15, we see the parable of the vine and the branches. And each of these do go together. I mean, this one speaks of Jesus himself speaking of the true vine, which he is. And his Father is the vine dresser. So he is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And we believers, we are the branches. This is the parable that is given. And those who remain, those who abide in him, bear fruit. We bear the fruit of his love. Those who do not, listen carefully. This is the fullness of the gospel. Those who do not are cut off. They are cast out. And this is the part that's normally left off. So I need to say that if you've been coming out of a dry period, yes, let's fertilize, let's water, let's grow, let's dig roots, let's blossom and bloom and bring forth fruit. Because if not, Christ himself will cut off and cast out those who do not bear fruit. Now, I pray that that does not happen to anyone in my circle, in this area of influence, ever in their earthly lifetimes. I pray that it won't. But Jesus explains how abiding in him is so absolutely, incredibly essential for spiritual growth and fruitfulness. That's what this whole parable is about. And that fruitfulness is a sign of a true disciple. You have no choice to but bear fruit as a disciple of Christ. Fruit that brings glory to God. That's the difference. I mean, there are good people in this world. Yes, there are. And they love on others. And they work with us. And they work in charities. And they are selfless in their way. But does it bring glory to God? This is the question that we see here all throughout Scripture. And then the last one. Jesus speaking, Matthew 7. He's speaking against false prophets. He's speaking against, you know, the false teachers, preachers, pastors, and so on. And then of those who also bear good fruit. And in verse 20, he says that you will know them. You'll know the difference by their fruit. And so when I look at those, and I'm going to use this example, having been involved in different ways, in different places, at church leadership, and I see the fruit. And now the fruit isn't, we're not talking about the number of people in the church. That's not the fruit. That is the result, I pray, I hope, of the word of God and the gospel being preached faithfully. God, Jesus, bringing people in. But I look at the fruit of the individual, best explained in how they might treat another individual, best explained in their management style, best explained in their discipleship style. I look at the fruit. Is there beautiful love and fruit, or is that fruit bruised? Is that fruit ugly? Is that fruit damaged? Is it damaging others? I look at those things. You will know them by their fruit. And then wrapping up, we see here in verse 7. You learn these things from Epaphras as you were taught, okay, as you were discipled. A dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ. This is the Greek word here for teacher. The Greek word also used for deacon. This is a servant that we're talking about, who on your behalf also declared to us your love in the Spirit. This is what Epaphras declared to them. I love it. And so Paul is expressing his thankfulness to the Lord for the work done in the lives of those at Colossae. And their attitude is of one who understands that their living Savior has come to them and in their lives and is working in their lives. Oh, glory be to God. How we would want for someone to say these things of us. There is, of course, a lot more to learn. And there is more for them to learn as well, just as there is for us. So we're going to finish off here for the moment, but I'd like you, if you would perhaps, just keep reading verses 9 through 12 in chapter 1. We're going to look at this section coming up, what's known as the prayer of Paul. And I'm going to dig into that into our next video. And oh, I kind of wish that, and maybe I should, maybe you could think as well, that we read this prayer, verses 9 through 12, and we pray it for those in our lives. It's worthwhile doing, don't you think? Well, have a look at it, see what you think. God bless. I pray blessing on your week. I pray peace. I pray that your hope will grow, your faith will grow, and your love for the saints will grow also. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Bye-bye. Amen.